Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
I know today there are people in the room that you think that it's an accident or it's coincidence that you're here. No, it isn't. There's something that's going to happen in your life today. There's somebody that you need to forgive, and you just can't do it. Or maybe let's just say, you realize that you have wounded somebody. The most natural thing for us to do is not forgive. Forgiveness is uniquely Christian. I was with a guy recently who was a philosopher. I mean, I would call him a philosopher. And he studied the Greeks and the Romans. And I asked him, I said, did they even have a concept of forgiveness? Not really. You know what their concept was? Revenge. That's what we do. That's natural. That's the flesh. Is immediately, when somebody hurts us, no, we don't get mad. We get, go ahead and say it, even. I mean, that's what we've been told through movies, through music, through everything. I heard about a guy that got diagnosed literally with rabies. But he said, the doctor said, the shots are going to help cure it, but you're going to be very contagious early on. So I wouldn't be around anybody. So his wife saw him one day making a list. And she said, are you making a list, getting things in order before you die? And he said, no, I'm just making a list of people I want to bite in the next 2 weeks. That's how we deal with it. You know this song. Not going to read the verse, but here's the chorus. I dug my keys into the side of his pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive, carved my name into his leather seats, took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights, slashed a hole in all four tires. Maybe next time, say it with me, he'll think before he cheats. Now, that's Carrie Underwood. She's a believer, I thought. Come on. The point is, that's how we deal with people. I mean, it's such a cancel culture. So if we don't get revenge, there's one choice we make. We choose anger. And we think we have a right to be angry because they hurt us. Dallas Willard said this, anger is the most fundamental problem in human life. Because what we've done is we've convinced ourselves we can be angry and that's good. No, it isn't good. The brother of our Lord, James, wrote a book in the Bible called James. Let me show you what he says. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Getting angry is not going to help. Forfeiting the right to be angry that somebody hurt you or wounded you is like saying, they're more important than me. That's when you start looking like Jesus. When all of a sudden they are more important than you. And forfeiting that anger is the way you do it. Or there's another option that we like, and that's play the victim card. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I'm the victim. And the result of all this is we have created a cancel culture in the church just as much as the culture is around us. Cancel culture just means that the way you deal with something that you don't like is you just cancel them. And in your mind, they're dead to you. Now, it can be somebody who does something to you, or we've even broadened it to the point now, if you just disagree with us, you're dead to us. And we think that's doing God a favor. We think somehow that's making him look better. And it's not making him look better. God doesn't cancel. Never. In fact, I didn't know that we would ever reach a point among the affiliation that we have with other churches, the network we're a part of, a pastor sat down with me. He had differences in the way we did certain things. And I said, "Wait a minute, I'm sorry. It's just a difference." And the basic thing he said was, if you disagree with me, David, you're my enemy. I'm like, what? Where did you get that? Well, I know where it came from, but it is so prevalent even among Christians, even among people, that we have forgotten the ability or lost the art of disagreeing and yet still be loving and gracious to one another. That's where we are today, and that's why we're doing a series called Canceled. This will take a look at one of the most powerful stories in the Bible, Luke 15, where there is a loving father, a prodigal son, and a messed up brother. And we're going to look at life through their eyes and how they dealt with something. Now, that's in Luke 15. We're not going there today. Okay, I see some of you, man, immediately going and turning or getting on your phone. We're going to another place. Hang on, I'll give it to you in just a second. What we want to do is invite you to join us on a journey. I pray it's a journey that sets you free. Because when you learn how to forgive, you will be free in a way you've never felt freedom before. And here's what we're doing. We've got a study that we put together, and groups are doing it. So if you're in a small group, you're probably going to be doing that. If you're not in a small group, it might be a great time to say, hey, I want to get in one of those groups. I'm leading a neighborhood Bible study talking about forgiveness. You can get access to those groups, or you can just get access to the resources. And that way you can do it privately. And personally, you can kind of go along with us, and all you got to do is text the word. What word would you guess you need to text? Forgive. And what's the number you guess we use? 407-77. So text the word forgive, 407-77, and there will be a response that helps you know, number one, how to get in a group, or just how to get the material. Here's my question to you. Why should we forgive? Sometimes we kind of like holding things over people. We like somebody owing us something. Why should I forgive? Well, I'm going to give you the number one reason, and we'll circle back to this over and over. Number one is because God has forgiven you. He didn't cancel you. He had every right to cancel you. Believe me, you gave him enough that could have easily been sufficient evidence to cancel you. He didn't. And if we're going to be his people, his children, and if we're going to be his representative in a cancel culture, we can't cancel people. We can't live lives holding things against people. We have to learn how to forgive. Paul said to the Colossians, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I just think it's not a suggestion. It's not a hint. It is a command of our Lord. We must learn to forgive. Second reason, because canceling somebody, resentment doesn't work. It has never worked. We're crazy. We're absolutely insane to think that if I cancel somebody, that fixes it. No, it doesn't. If I keep holding this stuff in, that fixes it. No. It's just like the old saying, it's like you drinking poison waiting for them to die. They're not going to die. You're going to die. And you're going to die a horrible death. Even Job 5:2. Look at this verse. This is a great one. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be foolish and a senseless thing to do. Why would you? It doesn't work. And another good reason is because you're going to need forgiveness in the future. I'm about to mess up all of our day. All of us don't want to hear this next verse. It's one of the most overlooked, forgotten verses when we talk about the Sermon on the Mount. We talk about the model prayer that Jesus, he taught us to pray these things. Some reason it's so convenient to leave this part out. If you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will what? Also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let that sink in a minute. Are you hearing what I'm hearing? You don't have to have a PhD in New Testament to figure this one out. It basically means that if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And it's both from God and from others. When you ever heard the saying, what comes around goes around, or what goes around comes around? Paul talked about that even Jesus said it, the very judgment that you give others will come back to you. One of my favorite stories is about a police officer in L.A. There was an umpire, and he was late for a game, and he got pulled over speeding, and the officer said, yeah, man, you were speeding. He said, I know, I'm an umpire, and I got to get there before the game starts. And he said, well, I'm sorry, I got to write you a ticket because you were way over the speed limit. He said, man, just give me a little mercy. And the cop said, I can't. I got to write you a ticket. 2 weeks later, that cop plays for a team made up of law enforcement. He comes up to bat, looks down at the umpire, and the umpire looks up and says, you remember me? And the cop says, yeah, I do remember you. And the umpire said, you better swing at everything. It's going to find you out. It's going to come back on you. It just makes all the sense in the world. I mean, even Gandhi said, this deal of an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, if you keep living that way, we all end up blind and toothless. In other words, stop the madness. It doesn't work to hold on to things. It doesn't work to cancel people. We got to learn what God wants us to learn, and we're going to take a trip through that beautiful parable where he's talking about a father who was loving and looked for the son to come home, and that prodigal who was insane to leave the father's house, and then the older brother that was as crazy as the other brother. And I think you're going to see yourself in all of those. But I want to start today with what is forgiveness. Because I don't want us to go into this thinking one thing. Oh, I know what forgiveness is. It's number one, it's forgetting. I got to forget what they did to me. No, you don't. Did you know forgiveness is not forgetting? In fact, I will tell you that it is impossible to forget the scars that wounds leave. And if you spend all your time trying to get yourself to forget something, that is not forgiveness. And we've listened to lies that said, oh no, if you can still remember it, you hadn't forgiven them. That's nonsense. There is a way to forgive and still carry scars. And it's not a feeling. We have convinced ourselves that we got to feel good about it. I like what Robert Jeffers said. He's a friend, pastor in Dallas. He said, I forgive you, but I don't want to have dinner with you, or breakfast or lunch for that matter. We don't have to be best buds from there on. But I can still forgive you even though I don't have the feeling. God is not looking for a feeling for you. He's looking for an act of forgiveness from you. And then some say, well, if we forgive, that means they're free of the consequences. No, it doesn't. When you forgive somebody, what they did, depending on what it was that they did or said, there are consequences for that. The Bible teaches there are consequences for sin. And just because you forgive them doesn't mean the consequences are gone. Let's take the legal ramifications of this. Some of you, God bless you, have experienced some of the most horrible things done by somebody. So for you to forgive them, does that mean all the law is suspended? No. Does that mean they walk free? No. It means you walk free. They still have to deal with the consequences. So don't convince yourself that, well, if I forgive them, they get off easy. No, they don't. Sin is never free and easy. So my wife asked me this question, so I gotta talk about it for a second. So when you forgive somebody, they're not free of the consequences. But does it depend on their response? In other words, should we wait for them to be repentant and broken? Then we can forgive them? Nope. That's not what God did with you. You say, well, yeah, it is. We came to him in repentance. No, no. Repentance and brokenness is the way you receive forgiveness, not the way you give it. Your repentance and your brokenness before God just simply opened you up to a gift he had already given. The day Jesus died 2,000 years ago, he forgave your sin. It just happens that one day in brokenness, you were open to receive it, and it changed your life. And so the point is, when you forgive, you're not waiting on them. Doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they do. It's about how you are going to deal with them. So, again, this was all going on last night when UConn was playing Alabama, and it was happening while North Carolina State was playing, you know, Purdue. And so I was a little distracted with the game, and so we're having this discussion. She said, well, should you tell them? In other words, do you have to go to them and say, hey, I just want you to know I've forgiven you? That's a great question. So are we going to say that during this series that when you let something go, you forgive somebody, you got to go tell them? Nope. Here's my rule. This is just simply what I've observed in Scripture and what I've observed in life. If they know they wounded you and that it hurt you, yes, by all means, go tell them. But sometimes they don't know. So now you walk up into their life and say, hey, I just want you to know I forgave you. And you go, they go, what? What did I do? Now you got a whole new world to deal with. I've had people do that to me. In fact, that's been one of the most frustrating things. I'll have somebody come up and they're well-meaning. Hey, David, I just want you to know after 20 years you being here, I've finally forgiven you. For what? What did I do? And it throws now me into a cycle that I don't think is God-honoring. So here's what I would tell you. Unless they are aware, and unless it would help them to know, you don't have to tell. Just let them go. Just forgive. Now, is it possible to forgive somebody though they're not even here? Yes. Because remember, forgiveness is not as much about them as it is about you. It's about you letting go of something. It's about you opening the prison that's holding you. I mean, I've got a file full of stories about forgiveness. One of them is a young girl who, when she was very young, her grandfather abused her sexually. He died. She went to counseling, got a lot of help. Really, the therapy helped her so much. She came to the point she needed to say, I forgive you. He's in heaven. And she says in her testimony, she said, I think he's in heaven. She went to his grave and she read the letter saying, I forgive you, at his grave. Now, the reason she did that was for her. And so what I want you to understand that this is about what it does for us when we're able to forgive and we're able to let go of something. Is it ever right not to forgive someone? I'm sure everybody in here has an example of, oh, you can't forgive them. There's no way you could forgive them. For example, when somebody parked in your space this morning that you always park in, how could you be expected to forgive them for that? Or sitting in your seat. You know, I mean, we do that all the time. Somebody getting in our way, somebody doing something, and we're like, oh, my goodness, I can't forgive. There is no such thing as a situation where you shouldn't forgive. You know why? Because you've sinned. We've all sinned. If you were perfect, there might be a situation. That's right. But we're not perfect. So therefore, Remember, the only one who is just and not forgiving is whom? Jesus. And Jesus forgives. In fact, there's only one unforgivable sin. And that is not voting for the other party you don't like. That's not the unforgivable sin. The only unforgivable sin is rejecting Jesus. Rejecting the work of God in Jesus, his son. That's the only unforgivable sin. So how would I define forgiveness? Let's get words wrapped around it. Here is a definition. Forgiveness, the act of setting someone free from an obligation or debt to you that is a result of a wrong done against you. Okay? It's an act of setting someone free. When you take the biblical language, when you take the biblical stories, the New Testament, most of the stories and most of the language has this sense of a debt. And that whenever you forgive someone, you're canceling the debt. So let me show you how I would state this in a cancel culture like we live in. Instead of canceling a person or group that owes you because of what they did, cancel the debt. Okay? Think about that for a minute. Instead of canceling them, the reason I put or group, we have gotten to the point where, as I said a minute ago, it's not just that somebody personally offended me. Somebody holds a view that is different than mine. So in our mind, we cancel. We count them as unworthy. We count them as wrong and unbiblical and all that. And so we kind of dismiss them. I think we have to realize that, yes, it's a personal offense. It's things that were done to us. But it's also an attitude we develop toward people that are just different than us. Canceling them does nothing. But canceling the debt that we feel like they owe us, that changes your life. So the big question is, how do we do it? How do we forgive? Now, I want you to go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is where Simon Peter is looking for a loophole. He's like all of us. He's got people he doesn't want to forgive. And so he asked Jesus a question. He said, hey, how many times I got to forgive somebody? I think I will ask you. How many of you have ever asked the Lord privately, Lord, how many times I got to forgive them? Can I see your hand? Just how many times I got to have? Okay. And the Lord knows the ones of you that are lying, so he's got it. I just think all of us deal with that. Like, man, how many times? They do this all the time. How many times I got to forgive them? So Simon Peter comes to Jesus, and he basically says, how many times do I have to forgive? You're going to love Jesus' answer. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven. You know, Peter was hoping there. Seven. Because in Peter's mind, he's already been there. He's there. He's at number eight, number nine. I'm done with him. It's not what Jesus went for. Jesus said, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Now, 77 is forever. The number seven is a number for eternity. Have you ever wondered why we have you text 40777? Did you know that today is 407 day? Come on. There's an eclipse coming tomorrow. I mean, do you see everything lining up? So 77 is basically, or 70 times 7, that's some translations, forever. You mean there's never a moment where I can say I've done it enough, I've forgiven enough. That's right. But look what he says. Jesus knows we need pictures. He knows we need object lessons, so he tells a story, and it's a cool story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, begging him, "Have patience with me. I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt, released the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, began to choke him. "Pay what you owe." For his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, I'll pay you." He refused. He went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me, you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. You know, when Jesus tells a story, it's crystal clear. And this one is one of those you don't have to figure out the New Testament and read the whole Bible to understand this. This is simple. It's almost math. A guy owed some money, and the master said, "It's no problem. How much money did he owe?" Okay, follow this. 10,000 talents. Do you know how much one talent was worth in that day? It was worth 20 years' salary. Okay, so take your salary, your annual salary, at least what you told the IRS. Okay, take that. Now, multiply it times 20. Okay? Now multiply it times 10,000. You know what the point of this is? It's an inexpressible number. It's actually a term. Most New Testament guys believe this is a Jesus way of saying it was a debt he could have never paid. He couldn't even get the numbers. The numbers, you can never imagine that much debt. That's how much he owed. Then he turns around and goes and finds a brother who owes him, are you ready for this? $170. $170. That's the denarii. We know how much that was. $170. Do you see the point? Guess which one you are? The $170 debt? Nope. The $200 million. The $7 billion. We took the average income in Orlando. We did the math. $7 trillion? Was it? $7 trillion. Guess which one has that debt? We have that debt. You have that debt. And he forgave the debt. So if we're ever going to learn how to forgive, first you got to make the decision, I want to forgive. I don't want to live in a prison I've made with unforgiveness, okay? So it starts with a decision. Secondly, remember. Remember what God did for you. You owed a debt you could have never paid. And he paid a debt he didn't owe. And you are free. Remember what he did for you. C.S. Lewis says it. I love the way he says it. To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. Perfect. And you know what that does? When you see everything through the cross, now, just the gospel story is this. All of us have sinned. We all have a debt. No, not one of us is righteous. That's Isaiah, Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. There are so many verses in the Bible that talk about we are sinners. We owe a debt. God sent his son Jesus to absorb that debt. Why do you think they beat him? Why do you think they crucified him in such a torturous way? Because he was paying the debt. He was absorbing the debt. He didn't know. And then on the third day, he walks out of a grave and he says this, "Follow me." Meaning now our debts are forgiven through faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are free. Therefore, we are free to forgive others. It's the way it all works through the cross. Everything works through the cross. So I got a text last night. Once again, during the basketball games, I get this text. It was from some preachers, and they were sharing a story. Man, it got me intrigued. I went to Google, and I started reading USA Today and Washington Post and all these articles. I want to tell you a story. You may not believe it. Just Google it, I promise you. There is a building in Taiwan called the Taipei Building 101. It is the tallest building in Taiwan. Here's a picture of it. Last week, there was an earthquake in Taiwan, 7.4 on the scale, 7.4 magnitude. Buildings, houses, everything suffered damage. That building, nothing. Nothing. In fact, all the articles are written from the perspective of how in the world is that building not impacted by an earthquake? Here's the answer. In that building, halfway up, is this thing. Not these people. They're taking selfies, okay? The ball. What is that ball? It's called tuned mass damping. It's basically harmonic absorption. That ball weighs 660 tons. It is suspended in the middle of the building, so that when an earthquake hits or anything that shakes that building, that ball begins to absorb that. And it is like a pendulum. And that building sustained no damage whatsoever. Can I tell you, in the center of every one of us who call him Lord, there is the same thing, except it's a cross. And every time we take a hit from this world, every time somebody hurts us, every time somebody does something to us, guess what happens? That cross absorbs the pain. And because of what God has done for us on the cross, I can forgive my brother and my sister. I just think it makes perfect sense. So remember what God has done for you. And the second thing, release the debt. Let it go. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Doesn't mean you act, well, what they did, it wasn't that bad. No, it was bad. Just release it. Man, we live here. We ought to know the song, "Let It Go." Let it go. Y'all heard it till you were sick of it. I mean, let it go. Because of what he did for us. Lewis Smedes, there's a great quote. When you forgive someone, you're dancing to the rhythm of the divine heartbeat. God invented forgiveness as the only way to keep his romance with the human race alive. Did you know it's the only way we have a relationship with God today is because he forgave us. He took our debt and literally buried it in a tomb. So we could be free. I'm just praying that some incredible things are going to happen. Now, let me just give you a personal thing that I do. When I'm having trouble forgiving somebody, when I meet somebody that is having trouble forgiving somebody, I always normally do this. And I've done this on pieces of paper, and I don't have the paper anymore because I always burn it or I wad it up and throw it away. Take a piece of paper and write everything they did to you. Every hurtful word, every hurtful act, whatever it was that you don't like that they did, write it down. Literally, write it out. And when you get it all written out, you may need more than one piece of paper. I want you to draw this on it. I want you to draw a cross. And I want you to write the word canceled. Because I want you to do exactly what Jesus did. He took everything, all the sin of the world, and on the cross, he canceled it. And so we can do the same. And then take that piece of paper, burn it, destroy it. Don't put it in a frame and show it off. This stuff is gone. So maybe you need to do that for some homework. I encourage you. I got a feeling today the first step for some people in this room and on the stream is just to believe in the Lord Jesus. To forgive yourself. My wife last night, we were falling asleep. We've been having this discussion, you know, and it was so cool. And I'm already asleep. I mean, I'm, you know, that verge where you're just about to go. And she goes, "Hey, I just thought of something. Man, I woke up. I'm thinking, did I leave something on or what, you know, what?" She goes, "The hardest thing may be forgiving yourself." I said, "You know what? You're right." You know how the only way I've ever found to forgive myself? Trusting Jesus. Remembering what he did. So let's start with us. And for some of you, that means to put your faith and trust in him and say, "Lord, I've tried. I can't get it. I am repenting and turning toward you." Repenting means I'm going the wrong way. And I'm making mistake after mistake, and I can't forgive myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to you, and I'm going to let you take all those mistakes, and I'm going to let you cancel them. And I'm following you for the rest of my life. I want us to bow together. If you're on the stream, just pause for a moment. Can I lead you in a simple prayer? Just say this: "Lord, thank you for dying for my sin. Thank you for taking my debt. And today, I believe you died on the cross for me. You were buried, and you walked out of the grave 3 days later. Jesus, I believe. And I want to follow you the rest of my days. And the same way you forgave me, I'm going to forgive others. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name." Now, guys, I believe that that's where it all starts. We're going to continue a journey, and there's a lot of things about forgiveness we're going to talk about. You're welcome to send questions or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of interchange of ideas. Remember, we've got information, resources, we've got small groups, we got ways for you to take another step. I just want to thank you for taking the first step, and that is being here today, being on the stream, and may God bless you. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.